Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Going back to the hoax parade in Dublin, the one that never happened, this listener says, I'm a language teacher and a lot of my students were going to go to the parade at 7 o'clock yesterday evening. I thought it was going to be the same as the Mockness parade, but clearly it turned out to be a hoax. Anne went to the Shandon Halloween parade in Cork City yesterday evening and it was excellent. Brilliant costumes and makeup artistry. She says it must have taken hours, thousands of hours to prepare. And we've a message here from a Tulsk resident who says, Dublin cannot reclaim Halloween. This worldwide celebrated festival actually originates within the rich history of Rathcrochan in County Roscommon, so it can't go to Dublin. But listen, I think there's food for thought in the crowds that turned out last night to see that parade, the one that wasn't on O'Connell Street. Maybe it's something they could think about for next year. Now though, we're going to talk about pine martens, because conservationists in the UK last month released 15 of them into the wild in southern England in an effort to re-establish the mammals in the area for the first time in more than a century. But efforts like this aren't new, because it's something we've been doing here in Ireland for many years, and what it has done is allowed the red squirrel population to rebound. And I'm joined in the studio now by Donna Mullen, who's an ecologist and author of Make Your Home a Nature Reserve. Donna, lovely to have you back with us.
How are you?
You've brought your friend with you.
Yes, I brought a pine marten. Now, the listeners aren't missing anything by not seeing this guy, because he was hit by a car 20 years ago and and in the intervening years he's gone a bit grey, so he really doesn't look his best.
He's stuffed, we should say.
He's stuffed. Oh, he's well dead. And the poor thing, yeah, he's quite grey. Normally they're a beautiful chocolate colour, but at least you get an impression of the size. He's like a size of a cat.
Yeah.
And they're unbelievably furry. They're just really beautiful animals.
Well, they were hunted for their fur, weren't they?
They were, yes, yeah. And they wrap their tail around themselves like a duvet to keep warm in winter. Apparently in winter they lie in bed all day.
Oh, lovely. I like their style. Yeah. Are they vicious?
Well, they would be if you're a mouse or something that they want to eat. Or I'm sure there'd be lots of people ringing in saying, oh, you know, they've eaten my chickens. And it happened to myself. They got into our chicken pen and there was a wipeout. And I didn't like pine martens for a couple of days. But then the mother came and she brought two little kits with her. And so she was just trying to feed her kits, and the kits were just adorable, jumping on and off plastic bags and frightening themselves. And now we've made a chicken pen that is kind of safe for pine martens. So it has a roof on it so they can't get over the top, and a base on it, a skirt on the base so they can't dig under. And the chickens are safe. We haven't had an attack in 5 years.
Right.
We still have pine martens.
So are the pine martens competing with the foxes then for food?
Yeah, they would. Yeah, but they would eat an awful lot of berries as well. So this time of year, there's a lot of blackberries around, and that's mostly what they're eating. Blackberries and frogs, rats and mice.
So explain to us then why they needed to be reintroduced a number of years ago. What happened to the pine marten population?
Yeah, well, the pine marten population, they actually in Ireland, they weren't reintroduced. They just came back themselves. They were west of the Shannon, but with increased forestry and even farmers putting in hedges and that, they started making their way across to the east coast. So now they're right up, apparently there was a dead one in St. Margaret's in Dublin, so they're right up to the border of Dublin, and it's really just the cars killing them, keeping them the numbers down. I'd love to see them coming back to the Phoenix Park and then as well they bring back the red squirrel. They act as kind of bodyguards for red squirrels.
Explain that to me. So they get rid of the greys, do they?
Yeah, they get rid of the greys. What happened was, like, the red is our native species. And then in 1911, possibly the worst present ever given, the Earl of Longford got a wedding present of a big crate full of grey squirrels. Now, squirrels, I always think squirrels are kind of like hippies. They don't like to be contained. They don't have a territory. They just like to live wild. And they escaped and got out and they started taking over. And they're bigger and they're stronger than the reds.
My 7-year-old told me the story of the party when the squirrels were brought in the box. And she said each squirrel jumped out of the box and went off and had their own family. That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly. And like squirrels, they don't do well in cages or boxes. I had red squirrels myself at my own farm that we were releasing. They came to the wildlife hospital in Kildare, and we were releasing obviously they'd be found in Meath and they were being re-released. And we only had them for about 4 days in the cage and they started going mad, doing these repetitive backflips.
They wanted out.
They wanted out. So we actually just filled our forest with buckets full of food and we let them out.
Right. And are they doing well?
Yeah, well, we don't know because they don't have a territory. So they're just gone. And our forest links to other forests. So it's perfect for them. But I imagine that they will.
I don't know, people listening to this, whether they would agree with me, but I feel I have seen more red squirrels in recent years than I would have in the past. I've seen them very recently in Wicklow. I've seen them in Longford. They're around.
Yeah, they are. And before they were being suppressed all the time by the greys. So the greys were tougher and the greys were more immune to, there's a disease called squirrel pox. And the greys could carry it, but they don't get sick with it, whereas it makes the red ones sick and they die.
So they're not killing the red squirrel, the grey squirrel. They're just hardier. They're just taking over.
They're just taking over. As well, there's a thing called tannins. It's in tea bags. I don't know if you ever ate a tea bag when you were a kid, but don't try this at home. It makes you sick. And it's because of the tannins. And the tannins are in, like, you know, acorns and different nuts. And the grey squirrel is able to kind of eat them and not be affected by them, but they do affect the red squirrels.
Right.
So like acorns are a great source of fat and everything to eat, but they can only eat, you know, less numbers of them.
They don't agree with them.
They don't agree with them so much. So the grey then just you know, it's stronger, it can eat more food, it's more resistant to disease. And the reds were getting pushed away until the pine marten.
Right. So tell us what the pine marten does then to change the story.
Yeah, well, it was thought, and it probably is true, that the pine marten is eating the greys. Because the greys are big and they can't escape so much. Because the reds are lighter, they can go on to, you know, outer reaches of branches.
More nimble.
They're more nimble. They can escape. And they're kind of quite scary, you know, squirrels anyway. So they get anxious about things. So it was thought that the pine marten was eating them, which is probably happening. But when the zoologists went out to see in the pine marten poo, we wanted to do DNA analysis of pine marten poo to see could they get grey squirrels in it to prove that this was what was happening. But every time they went anywhere and they took poo from the pine martens, and pine martens are great that they poo in really obvious places. They mark their territory with scats. So if you're ever walking along, it's a great thing to do with kids. Tell them, we're being zoologists for the day. You've got to find poo. And you set them out on a forest and they'll go for ages. And, you know, they poo on branches in really obvious places. So you'll find it.
So if we see anyway, a poo on a branch, it's probably a pine marten poo.
It's a pine marten poo, exactly. And they do it, it looks like a walnut whip, you know. They wiggle their bums. They make it really obvious.
You paint a lovely picture. Yeah. So they tested the pine marten poo. And what
no grey squirrels, DNA.
Yeah.
So what they think is happening is, they call it now the landscape of fear. So I always say it's like suppose you're living in a house and everything is fine, and a serial killer moves in next door to you.
You're not happy anymore.
You're not happy anymore. You get anxious all the time. And because your stress levels are up, you get more diseases. You might not reproduce, or you might not, because you're so anxious, you might not. You might be looking all the time at the predator next door, and you might not be really watching your kids so well. And also, ultimately, what happens is you'll move house.
Mm-hmm.
And this is without the serial killer ever taking out an axe or doing anything. This is just because of the presence of it. So they call it this landscape of fear, and it happens when wolves are reintroduced into sites. In Yellowstone Park now, this happened. And it turned out that the wolves kept the animals on the run all the time. It wasn't even so much that they were
doing
they
anything.
Were eating them. They were eating some, but they were making them anxious. It changed the whole grazing patterns. It changed everything about the dynamic going on.
Martin might just have put the wind up the grey squirrels.
It might
be
just scaring them to death.
But like not the red squirrels.
Not the reds. And the reds probably know they can escape. And they're probably a little more jumpy anyway, so they're not getting caught. And so because of this, the reds are coming back. And it happened on our own farm. We haven't got the reds back yet. But the greys went. And then about 6 months later, we caught sight of our first ever pine marten on a trail camera.
Right. So that's what was happening.
That's what's happening.
The grey squirrel is American, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately from America and taken over. So now kind of the only places that they're left is in the city parks.
I have a listener saying, I'll never look at a walnut whip in the same way again.
Yeah.
So why then have they decided in the UK to try and reintroduce the pine marten in the south of the country? Have they looked at what's happened here and they've said, oh, we'll have some of that now?
Exactly, yeah. And they've been reintroducing them in Wales and in Scotland, and that's been very successful. So they're bringing them.
I wonder, are they getting them from us?
So, no, they're actually getting them. Well, quite a lot of the time, pine martens have to be trapped anyway. Like, for instance, if you had a big chicken farm, or maybe if they were in your attic, under the Wildlife Service can give you a license and they'll come out and do it and they'll remove the pine marten from the area if you're having a lot of trouble with the wild pine marten.
Right.
So it's done
they'll
under license.
Them away.
So sometimes they have to be relocated anyway. Or what can happen with the wildlife hospitals, they can get killed on the road. The kits can be found. And then they're looking for places to release them. But what's kind of happening in Ireland is that the grey squirrels are kind of seeking refuge in the city parks because of the roads. The pine martens are getting killed on the roads and they're not getting into the parks. So it might be worth looking at reintroducing them into the likes of the Phoenix Park, because we don't want little venues where the grey squirrels are living, you know, because if something goes wrong with the pine marten, they could come out and kill the red squirrels all over again.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of a natural way of dealing with the problem. Yeah.
Right. OK, so the pine martens then you mentioned might like to live in an attic.
Yes.
Why would that be?
That's the problem. They like to live in trees that are over 100 years old, but we don't have that many trees that are that age. And now with ash dieback, all those lovely big ash trees that would be old, they're all dying. So they're moving into attics. They're usually in abandoned houses, but I know near us in Meath, there's a local politician who has one living in his attic. And actually, he's really good to put up with it because they're big, smelly animals and they have their babies and the babies make a lot of noise. So like generally you can exclude them from the attic, you know, once the babies are reared.
But you can get help with that. If you want
your wildlife ranger to do that. And you can put up boxes for them as well. Pine marten boxes. We have a few around our place.
To attract them and keep them safe.
Give them an alternative place to live.
Donna, it's always lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for explaining that and for bringing in your friend there, the pine marten, who we're delighted to see as well. Donna Mullen is an ecologist and author of Make Your Home a Nature Reserve. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.